Good morning, everybody. So good to see you. As I have shared before, when I don't follow the lectionary, lectionary has all the designated scripture readings and all throughout the year, and it goes around like a 3 years in a cycle. And I don't follow that. I tried that one before when I was in Boston, but it just did not work for me. So the way that I get select messages is through my prayer meditation. And I just realized when I was working on it yesterday that I know some of the people who are dealing with a particular situation that may very well recognize that this message is for them. But it wasn't, from the beginning, it wasn't my intention. It just came to me, and that's how I initially prepared the summary of the message a week before. And I'm sure that the message that you will hear will speak to your heart, and that's my prayer, that we will all hear the Word of God through Psalm 23, and that's the message that God wants us all to hear. Once upon a time, there was a prince who, through no fault of his own, was put under a spell, which allowed him to speak only one word each year. However, he could save up the word from 1 year to the next, so that if he did not speak for a whole year, he was allowed to speak two words the following year. One day he met and fell madly in love with a beautiful princess who had golden hair, sapphire eyes, and ruby lips. With the greatest difficulty, he decided to refrain from speaking for two whole years so that he could look at her and say, "My darling." But at the end of the 2 years, he wished to tell her that he loved her. Consequently, instead of speaking, he chose to remain silent for another 3 years, thus allowing himself the luxury of five words. But at the end of those 5 years, he was so madly in love with her that he wanted to ask her to marry him. So he decided to wait another 4 years without speaking. Finally, as the ninth year of silence ended, his joy knew no bounds, leading the lovely princess to the most secluded and romantic spot he knew. The prince placed 100 red roses on her lap, knelt before her, and taking her hands in his, said affectionately, "My darling, I love you. Will you marry me?" That's 9 words. The princess tucked a strand of golden hair behind the dainty ear, opened her sapphire eyes in wonder, and parting her ruby lips, said, "Pardon?" He could say no more word. The prince waited 9 heart-wrenching years for the special moment. Sadly, his proposal did not run the way he planned. But look at our life. Isn't it true that life does not run the way we want or plan? Diversion and unexpected surprises may be easy for non-believers to digest. Well, there's no God. Que sera, sera, which means whatever will be. But for us, for believers, it's not easy. If God is with me, a bad thing should not happen to me. Are believers immune from dark moments? They are not. Then how can we reconcile God's presence with unwanted hardships? Let's look at David's psalm for an answer that we are so familiar with. David learned to be a shepherd from childhood. Shepherding sheep made him physically fit and made him a brave warrior. He was a skilled musician and used to play lyre to soothe Saul when the evil spirit came upon him. He was a poet and wrote so many beautiful psalms. David was also a prophet. His writings include prophecies about the Messiah. Psalm 23 can be understood as a prophecy about the Messiah, which I shared with you some time ago. The Messiah, who will be the shepherd of Israel. The psalm also speaks of the Messiah's role to guide and comfort, and the prophecy of Emmanuel. The table in the psalm points to Jesus' Last Supper on the night before crucifixion. Thou prepare us a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God prepare a feast of salvation through Jesus before the enemy who led people to sin and damnations. Sinners are invited to the feast of Jesus for deliverance from their ultimate enemy, Satan. Psalm 23 also describes David's life journey. David saw both good days and bad, and found God, God of Emmanuel, in both occasions. There were times when David's life was like resting and lying down peacefully in green pastures. David walked beside quiet waters that made his soul refresh. Those serene moments were when David experienced God's guiding hand that led him to the right places. David, on the other hand, experienced moments of walking through the darkest valley and faced many enemies. His king, Saul, whom he served, tried to kill him multiple times. David's most trusted advisor, Ahithophel, supported the revolt of his son Absalom. David could not fight against his own son, so he ran from Jerusalem, the city that he built. The route he took out of Jerusalem was the Kidron Valley. 2 Samuel 23 records the event. When David crossed the Kidron Valley, the whole countryside wept aloud for David. David continued up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered and he was barefoot. I mean, think about it, how miserable he was, running away from the threat of his own son. This very scene was similar to Jesus' before the crucifixion. After the Last Supper in Jerusalem, Jesus traversed through the Kidron Valley with a heavy heart and went to the Garden of Olives to pray. Historically, the Kidron Valley was associated with darkness. People used to burn articles of idols in the valley. The valley has been used as burying ground from ancient times until today. You know, you see the Jerusalem with the golden dome of rock, right? And you see it right in front of that, you see all the rectangular shapes around the whole city of Jerusalem. You know what those are? Those are the graves. It's the dark place. When David confessed, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," his expression was rather literal. He had been there, walked in that dark valley of the shadow of death. How did David understand the dark moment in his life? He said, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, because you are with me." That's the theology of Emmanuel right there. What David confessed here was against the popular belief, which dictates the minds of many believers. If God is with us, a bad thing should not happen to us. If God is involved in our lives, we expect God only to lead us to the bright path. God's protecting rod and guiding step should shield us from adversities and adversaries. However, David disagreed with the popular stance. His faith opened his eyes to find God's presence in the dark. "I'm not alone. God walks with me, guides me, and protects me." If we look at our dark valleys with the same lens David used, we can surely see God's presence right there. How can we see God's presence when something terrible happened to us? When difficulties discourage us, we become disillusioned and slow down. You know, at times, slowing us down is what God intends for us. God allows a rugged path so that we may take one day at a time instead of speeding up to do all at once. As people say, timing is everything. As in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. Then it goes on to list all kinds of occasions: a time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. And it concludes with, "He has made everything beautiful in His time." God makes everything beautiful in God's timing. Everything in the universe runs on God's clock. God knows the perfect timing for the right reasons. God's timing makes everything beautiful. We may feel like that we are not progressing fast enough while walking in the dark valley, but let us not forget, we are being synchronized with God's clock. Many years ago, in the days of sailing ships, a terrible storm arose, and a ship was lost in a deserted area. Only one crewman survived and washed up on a small, uninhabited island. In his desperation, the castaway daily prayed to God for help and deliverance from his lonely existence. Each day he looked for a passing ship and saw nothing. Eventually, he managed to build a crude hut in which he stored the few things he had recovered from the wreck and those things he had made to help him. One day, as a sailor was returning from his daily search for food, he saw a column of smoke. As he ran to it, he saw his hut in flames. All was lost. Now, not only was he alone, but he had nothing to help him in his struggle for survival. Stunned and nearly overcome with grief and despair, he fell into a deep depression and spent a nearly sleepless night wondering what was to become of him and questioning whether life itself was even worth the effort. The next morning, he rose early and went down to the sea. There, to his amazement, he saw a ship laying offshore and a small boat rowing toward him. When the once marooned man met the ship's captain, he asked him how he had known to send help. The captain replied, "Why, we saw your smoke signal yesterday, but by the time we drew close to the tide, it was against us. So we had to wait until now to come and get you." The stranded sailor thought he lost everything he had built on that remote island and became depressed. But he had no foresight that God used the fire to signal for help at the perfect time when the ship was passing by the remote island. A dark valley is also a time for correction. We often forget that our life does not run the way we want. Do you know that? But the way God wants. Why does God alter the course of our choosing? It is because God's plan is always exceedingly superior and grander than our own. If we choose a path not in tune with God's plan, God uses the dark valley to correct our path. Blockages on our path can be frustrating, but they serve as God's instrument to switch to the path of God's design. I experienced a blockage in my late 20s, serving a military church close to the demilitarized zone was tough. So upon completing the military duty, I wanted a break from the ministry. So guess what I did? I applied to be an airline steward. I thought the job would allow me to travel around the world at no cost, right? And broaden my perspective to be a better pastor. I had the right reason. I passed the first two interviews with flying colors and expect to be hired. I was confident, but I was not. It was very frustrating. But deep inside, I knew that if they hired me, I might have left the ministry or taken a long time to return. And God knew me and my tendencies so well, therefore he blocked my path. Psalm 23 is some of the scriptures that we know so well, we are so familiar with. It has many valuable lessons to teach us. But one lesson that we want to remember is going through the dark moment does not mean that God is absent. Thou art with me in that dark valley, right? If we are walking through the dark valley, understand it with the certainty of Emmanuel, certainty of Emmanuel. God is with us through good days and bad. We may perceive it as a dark valley, but it is not. God walks with us, guides and protects us. Our out-of-control situations are never out of God's control. God uses them to lead us into the path of his righteousness. Amen.